Praise the Lord, everyone. Now, the first thing I ask you to do, some of you didn't do it. The very first request I made of you, some of you didn't do it. I'm good mind to embarrass you and ask everyone that didn't say praise the Lord to stand up. But I'm going to give you another chance. Everyone that loves the Lord, just say praise the Lord. Now, do you see the difference? Why do you wait for those little pep talks? Why isn't it just down there? Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Now, these folks up close, they're going to have a camp meeting. What about all of you back there? How many of you are going to have a camp meeting? That's it. Give us a wave offering back there. Praise the Lord. I came up here and sat down by a very good friend, great man, Brother Yaden. I said, Brother Yaden, you never did plow an old mule to a plow, just one mule and just a turning plow. These young people don't know nothing about that. It takes us old ones to tell you about it. He said, oh, yes, said, I've done that. I said, well, this platform and this audience tonight makes me feel like I'm a mule pulling with a short trace and a long trace. And when you do, you kind of get sideways this way. I hope we don't leave you people out over here, but God bless you. God bless you. God bless every one of you. How many of you feel like that God could bless you? Now, you know the conditions. You know the conditions under which He blesses. You know. And I want us to be blessed of the Lord in this camp meeting. Now, we want to get adjusted here. I'm harnessed up here with a lapel mic or a collar mic. And then this one, I want to leave one of them alone. And I want you to be able to understand us if I have to use both of them or discard both of them. I want us to have a great time here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm sure this building is strange to every one of us. None of us was here last night in the service, I'm sure. So we got to get adjusted to the building. But the sound is here. We walked up on the ground. I said to Brother Price, that's us. That's our sound. No other people in all the world have it. I believe I'd recognize it on the other side of the world. That's us. That's us. Praise the Lord. Now, you notice I didn't say that's you. I said that's us. Now, some people say, I hope you have a good camp. This is not you, it's us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. It is really a privilege to be here for more reasons than one. I've got a lot of good old friends here and preach for you, and you have for me. I see ministers here that I really wasn't expecting to be here, but here they are. And to be teamed up with Brother Yaden, I just think that's one of my greatest privilege is to be teamed with him, sit at his feet tomorrow. He said, can I go down and sit with my wife tonight? I said, go right ahead. I'm going to sit down there tomorrow and listen to you. And that's one of the joys of coming. Then to be with Brother Price, your district superintendent. I told Brother Nally, coming from the airport, Brother Price is not only a great district man, but he's a great national man to all of us. He's appreciated all over. And we're glad that this district has given him to the United Pentecostal Church as a general official. Hadn't it been for you, we couldn't have him. So thank you. Thank you. I will take a moment and tell you that I figured it up today. It is 16 years ago. Brother Price and I went from one end of this great district to the other in home missionary rallies. We had one every night, or I forget how many nights, that we covered the whole district. And we started in one car, and I forget now how many different automobiles we drove before we got through, but we drove them and we got through. And on the way, he just stopped and bought a brand new automobile. Just stopped and bought a brand new one. The one we were driving was giving him trouble, and we were driving along the road going to our next appointment, and it went out on us. A brand new one. And he got a ride into town and asked me to stay with the car. He'd go on into town and get someone to come and get us. Well, here come a wrecker. The driver of the wrecker brought two or three passengers along with him, and he heisted up the back end of the car for fear he'd ruin the transmission, pulling it with the hind wheels rolling. And he said, would you ride in the front end of the car? And he said, I got the cab full. I said, oh, yes, I will. And there I sat in the front end of that car and the hind wheels up in the front. I was looking right down at the pavement, riding backwards. And I'm told it'll kill a cow to run a driver backwards, but I made it. But what was so funny, cars would pull up to pass us, and they'd see something in that car, and they'd get back behind and look up. That's an experience. That's missionary work. That's missionary work. Well, the Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Trying to get acquainted with you. Trying to get some of you to smile at me and feel good. God bless you. God bless you. How many of you are here tonight? You're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Let us all stand. Let everybody stand up. Will you? Everybody stand up. Hey! Oh, to the God. Oh, hey! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm very pleased with the thought I have for you tonight. And I just pray that God will help us and bless us in this first message. This is your first service, is it? This is your first service. The success of the camp depends a lot on this service tonight. I'll tell you something else. The success of this initial message depends more on you than it does me. Now I want to say that again. the success of this initial message, first message of this camp, you think it's dependent altogether upon me. All right, Brother Glass, you're here and we're here. Now, you bless us if you think you can. Kind of. I'm going to wait and see if I like you. Yeah. And I suppose after about 5 minutes, some of you have me turned off. I don't like him. I didn't come over here to see whether I was going to like you or not. I come to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. A message must have a reception as well as an outlet. I'll tell you, saints, this. God bless your heart. A lot of times you go home from church and think your pastor didn't do too good that night. It wasn't him, it is you. Hardest thing in the world to do is get up in the pulpit and preach to an empty building. But if the souls are out there pulling it out of you, brother, it's the easiest thing in the world to do is preach when the audience is pulling it out of you. But the hardest thing in the world to do is preach when they're sitting out there like this. Woo! Glory! Praise the Lord! I'm going to say this, and I'm going to introduce my thought to you. I guess you know what that is. I don't. Praise the Lord. Let's love the Lord, everybody, will you? Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hey. Glory to Jesus. I'm reading tonight. You want to read with me and take notes. I'm reading from the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, beginning with the 20th verse. I would like to read more than this, but I won't at this time. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I've underscored this portion of verse 22. And this is going to be the theme of the services I'm responsible for in this camp meeting. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the enemy. When did the Lord do it? When they began to sing and to praise. I want to keep that before you, not only tonight, but every night. When was the enemy smitten and driven out? It was when they began to sing and to praise.
Amen.
Have you begun?
Praise the Lord.
Have you begun? I'm going to speak now from the thought of the most miraculous victory recorded in the Word of God and the weapons of warfare used. A little lengthy, but I'll repeat it. In my way of thinking, the most miraculous victory recorded in the Word of God and the weapons of warfare that was used. We all want a victory. We're enjoying a victory. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what I want you to do. You're at camp meeting. You're at camp meeting. I don't know who you're standing with, but look around at them and smile, and don't be embarrassed if they laugh out loud when they look at you. God bless you. Amen.
Glory!
Glory! You may be seated. You may be seated. At the time of this recording in the Word of God, it was a very, very dark day in the history of Judah. It was a dark day. The kingdom had been divided, and Israel was just about lost at this time, out in the unknown world somewhere. But Judah was a small nation left as a remnant, and three powerful nations was invading Judah: the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites. If you would study a scripture closely, you would find that either of these nations alone would have been too much for Judah. But the three of them had mobilized their efforts together and was invading Judah. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, knew that within the strength of the nation, they did not have a chance against the enemy. And Jehoshaphat himself went to God in a very sincere prayer. It was not a lay me down to sleep prayer. It wasn't just a prayer because of a habit of praying before you go to bed or after you get up, and that's a good habit. But a need had driven him to his knees in sincere prayer. And I want to say to this audience tonight, our God still hears a sincere prayer. It doesn't take you long. It doesn't take me long. Now, we may take our clock and our watch and make up our mind we're going to pray an hour because we pledged ourselves to do so, and I got a lot of pledges last night to pray an hour a day this week. That's all right. I'll do it again. And we may close our eyes and pray a minute, seem like it's 30, and open them, and to our surprise, we haven't prayed but a minute or two. Sometimes wind the clock to be sure it's a-running. And finally and lastly, we'll drag in our hour of prayer. We never go a minute overtime. We may stop a minute short, but not a minute overtime. Well, that's better than no praying at all. But I'll tell you this, my friends, if you get desperate and sincere with God, it doesn't take you an hour to contact Him. Our God is a present help in the time of need. Praise the Lord! It would have been so good for Jehoshaphat had he have prayed when there wasn't enemies invading him. And maybe he did so, I'm not sure. But wouldn't it have been good if he'd have been a man of prayer when it was a time of peace? Oh, it's so wonderful to trust God when the day is dark because you trusted Him when the sun was shining. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I'll never forget one time. I'll never forget it. I was pastoring at this time in the city of Port Arthur, Texas. And I met a backslider on the streets of the city. And I stopped them for a moment to invite them to church. And they just was in such a hurry until they gave me their excuse, walking sideways, getting away from me. And we standing on the street. I soon saw that they had no time for the church and no time for an invitation from the pastor to go. But in less than 10 days, one of these hurricanes came in off of the Gulf of Mexico. And it looked like it was going to blow Port Arthur away. And right in the midst of all of it, the doorbell's out, the electricity's off. But I heard a pounding on the door. They live just a block or so down the street from me. And I went to the door, and in that rain and wind, it didn't look like they could have walked the streets. But there they were, dripping wet, wringing their hands, running inside, and saying, "Brother Glass, we better pray. We better pray. It looks like we're going to be blown away." My thoughts went back to the day the sun is shining up on Proctor Street, when they didn't have time to talk to me about church and about God. And you can say I was wrong if you want to. But I said, "Listen, my friend, I prayed while the sun was shining. I prayed, praise God, when there was no hurricane. And now I'm going to trust God. I'm just trusting the Lord." And my Bible tells me if you fail to hear the voice of God when He calls and you will not answer, your day is coming. Your calamity is coming. And when you call, He'll not answer you. Praise God. Oh, friends, Jehoshaphat, he allowed trouble. He allowed an invasion of an armies of men to drive him to prayer. But oh, what a prayer he prayed. I want to just give you a few excerpts of his prayer that touched the heart of God. And God gave him the victory. Now you listen to this man pray. You listen to him pray. He reminded the Lord that we're living here in the land of Canaan. a land that you gave us. We did not possess this land until you gave it to us. It was not ours, but you promised it to your friend Abraham. He didn't say, my father Abraham. He said, you promised it to your friend Abraham. You gave it to your friend Abraham and his seed after him. Now you're going to let an enemy come in here and invade our land and take it away from us? Are you going to do that after that you gave it to us? And let me say to you tonight, God's given us everything in the world we possess. And I'll tell you this, all hell can't take it away from us. This is ours. Praise God, this is ours. This is ours. He's praying. This is our land. You gave it to us. And here are these, the enemies trying to come in and take it away from them, from us. Are you going to let them have it? Then he continued his prayer. He said, after we came here, after we were established in this land, we builded for you a sanctuary. And we builded for you this sanctuary, this temple, and we dedicated it to your name. And you said that you're going to place your name there forever. Now you're going to let the enemy come in and drive us out of this place that's been dedicated to you and to your name. Oh, friends, are we going to allow the enemy to come in here and keep us from having a camp meeting? I'll tell you, my friends, there's enough Holy Ghost right here now. If every one of you would enter into this service and worship God, the devil would have to leave this service tonight. Praise the Lord! We're not in a dedicated sanctuary tonight. We're not even in a dedicated tabernacle. But this place was provided for a camp meeting. These chairs were brought here, and this is all arranged for a Holy Ghost rally tonight. Amen. Praise God. And I didn't get in here. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I didn't get inside of this building until I knew God was here. I felt Him on the outside coming in. And I'll tell you, friends, I want you to hear me say it. The devil can have no part of this camp meeting if we want God here. I want to say it again. I want to say it again. The devil can actually have no part of this. For the next few days, this belongs to God and God's people. And I trust and pray that every sinner that comes in hearing of us is going to feel something they never felt before. Well, Jehoshaphat continues his prayer. He's praying. I want you to hear me. This man is praying. Praise God. It wouldn't take but a very few of us to pray as sincere as this man's a praying, and you'd have something here. I doubt if you could stop it Friday night. You wouldn't stop it. You'd take it home with you. It'd set your churches afire. You'd have a revival in your district. Praise God. It wouldn't take every one of you. Oh, but what would happen if every one of you would? Praise God, if just a few would pray like this man's praying. Praise God. Oh, God, are you going to allow the enemy to come in and take this away from us that you gave to us? Then he said in his prayer, when we were coming from Egypt to Canaan, when we left Egypt and came to this land, we came up to the borderline of the Edomites and the Ammonites, and we asked them to just let us pass through their land. We didn't want to tarry in their land. We just asked them to let us pass through their land. We told them if our children or if our herds, if they strayed off of the highway and drank from your fountains and ate from your fields, we would pay you them all the damages. And Lord, they wouldn't even let us pass through their land. All the requests we made was let us go through on the king's highway. And they wouldn't let us even walk through their land. And then we asked you, Lord, permission to invade their land anyway. And you wouldn't let us invade their land. Now, are you going to let them invade our land when you wouldn't let us invade their land? Woo! You see, the Lord tells us to stay out of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, if He tells us to stay out of the world, God bless your heart, He'll keep the world out of here if we let Him. Now this man's a praying. He's a praying. And he said, now, Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. We have our wives. We have our children here. Here we are. About that time, praise God, he's touched God.
Yes, sir.
A prophet stands up.
Glory.
Oh, thank God for the prophet. Yes. And this great King Jehoshaphat said, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, and you'll prosper. Yeah. And that prophet stood up. And under the inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost, he said, say, Jehoshaphat, all of you, you stand back. This is not your battle. This is my battle. I'm going to tell you folks something. If I'd have thought I was going to have to come to California and preach a camp meeting myself, you couldn't have hired me to come. You couldn't have gotten me here under no conditions. But this is not my camp meeting. This is God's camp meeting. This is not my battle. Oh, you, if you're here, and I'm sure you are, never would there be this many Holy Ghost people congregate in one place unless somebody had their feet braced against it. Oh, you're not going to bless me. Well, God bless your heart. I didn't come here to bless you. I come here to bless the Lord. You mean, Brother Gus, you can bless the Lord? Oh, no, you didn't understand me. But the Bible tells me to bless the Lord. Worship, praise. I'll tell you what you can do tonight, and it'll be accepted. No one else can do it. Angels can't do it. God Himself can't do it. What is it? That's worship the Lord. The Lord seeking after a people to worship Him. You can do it tonight. All right. Jehoshaphat, you stand back now. This is not your war. This is not your battle. This is my battle. They're invading the land I gave my friend Abraham. They're trying to invade the temple that I placed my name there. And I wouldn't let you come through their land. I'm not going to let them take your land. But I want to tell you, there was a part for them to play. Now this is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's camp meeting. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But there's always a part for us to play. All right, Jehoshaphat could have said, he could have said, if this is the Lord's battle, all right, I dismiss all of you soldiers. You're discharged. You can go home on furlough. You can go home. You can relax. It's all over. No, sir. They had to go out on the battlefield anyway. Although it's the Lord's battle, they got to go out there. The Lord told them, I tell you what you do. You get you a group of men together early in the morning, before 9:30. Oh, yes, before 9:30. Get together early in the morning. And you go out over here near the wilderness of Perua, over there by the cliff sea. That's where the enemy is. That's where they are. I'm telling you, right where they're camped. And you go over there in the morning, and you get you an army of people. And I tell you what I want you to do. Get you a bunch of singers together. Get you a bunch of singers together. Somebody that'll sing praises unto God. That's what we need. That's what we need. Oh, my friends, that's what we need in this camp meeting. Somebody that'll get together and praise and worship the Lord. Glory! I want you to get them all together. Just all, that's all they're going to do, just sing and praise the Lord. You mean you're going to sing and praise the Lord on a battlefield? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's why I say it's the most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible. They did not have a sling in their hand. They did not have a trumpet in their hand. They did not have a rod in their hand. I know there was victories given David with a sling. There was victories given Moses with a rod. There was victories given Gideon with a trumpet. But here's an army that doesn't have a sling. They don't have a rod. They don't have, praise God, their hands are empty. But they have weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. See, this is true and it's sad. It's true and it's sad. Very pathetic. Most of our people have come to the place that they think singing in the church is for entertainment. It's entertainment. Somebody that can really put it over. Might put it over with you, but the little difference is putting it over with God and putting it over with you. I went to church and hold a revival one time. Pastor announced tonight, choir's going to sing tomorrow night. I'd see people up there in the choir I hadn't seen. There they were up there in the choir loft singing. He didn't mention they're going to sing tomorrow night, and they wasn't back the next night. Now, I wasn't there but about a week or 10 days, and I saw the only time that most of that choir came to church was the night they sang. I got up one night. I'm going to be gone a few days anyway. Yeah, you're not going to have no revival when it's like that. Just well quit. Just well quit. I got up one night and I said, choir, I want to tell you something while you're here tonight. I don't care to hear you sing. Boy, you could have heard a pin drop. I didn't get the response when I said it to them that I got from you when I told you about it. I said, if that's your only interest in this revival, that you're going to come out here and let us hear you sing one song. And you would really like to leave after you sang that. But it'd embarrass you a little to walk out. I don't care to hear you sing. I was thinking of inviting you to my church to sing for me, but I don't want you now. God would rather hear somebody sing from the deep of his heart with an old guitar with three strings on it and two of them out of tune, but it's coming from the heart. Glory! I want to tell you something, folks. There's ministers on this platform and in this service tonight. They remember 35 and 40 years ago, just like I do, when people would leave carpeted floors and polished pews, organs and pianos, and drive out in the country to an old brush arbor with all gasoline lights, and all the music they had was a guitar, hardly had any song books. But they throw their heads back and they say to the glory of God. I want to ask you something now, and I want you to be real sober while I say it. It's easy to sing here tonight, isn't it? It's really easy to sing. I really believe I could sing a little. I do. I really do. And I'm one of the poorest singers in the world, but the good thing about it is I know it. We're in a group of others, and the spirit of singing's here. There's victory in the crowd. How would you have felt out there on that battlefield? Over there in that wilderness of parole, over there by that cliff, sees that army of men. Army of men, trained warriors. They've got their weapons of warfare. And they're outnumbering you dozens to one. And all you got is a song. Will you sing it? Will you sing it? Will you sing it? Oh, but Brother Glass, I don't feel like... Is that the only time you sing is when you feel like it? Let me tell you something, friends. I can shout about what I know as well as about what I feel. Jesus said, rejoice not because spirits are subject unto you. That's what we shout about. But I say unto you, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord. All right. They're singing. I know and reason. Please listen, folks. I know and reason they felt unnecessary. They felt like that those Edomites and Ammonites and Moabites, they think we're crazy. We're coming to meet them on a battlefield singing, praising God. Why, you say praise God on the job. Somebody look around at you like to think you're a fool. Just imagine how those people felt. No victory. It had been easy to say praise the Lord after the enemy had been smitten. But they're asked to praise the Lord before the enemy is smitten. Just like the Israelites was asked to shout before the walls fell down. Why, all of us would have shouted after the walls crumbled. But how many of you going to shout just because the command says shout? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me continue on a little while. I don't really feel I've finished. I don't feel I've finished. I want to just want to pause here long enough to let you see what the Word teaches and then our practice. We have no joy until we have seen the victory. Why can't we see it by faith and believe God? Here comes this army singing. What were they singing? I don't know. It could have been that they were singing some of the songs of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley, what a valley they were in. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Praise the Lord. They were singing. And my text that I underscored said this, and when they began to sing and to praise God, He set ambushment against the enemy. Some of you sitting in this Holy Ghost atmosphere tonight have not begun to sing and worship yet. But my text says, when they began to sing. Oh, but Brother Glass, singing and worshiping and praising God and shouting's left up to the saints. I'm glad you say that. I must be a saint because I really love to shout praise and bless God. There is greater victories in worshiping and praising God than any other thing in the world that you can do. I'll tell you this, and pastors are finding it out, and I wish saints could find it out. You start a worship service. When you open your service, don't just start a song service, start a worship service. Praise God. Worshiping God from the front pew to the back pew. I tell the church at home, I don't care where you sit. A lot of people fuss because they sit in the back and some... Everybody can't sit in the front. You only got a few front seats. When you got a good crowd, somebody got to get in. I said, I don't care where you sit. I want you to worship after you sit down. That's what we're here for. Worship God. And when they began to sing and to praise and to worship God, He set ambushment against the enemy. In all the collections of songs that we have, all we have, and I thank God for every one of them, I'm glad that we can say this. The Lord has furnished the theme, title, for more songs than all other songs put together. I'm glad I can say that. And in all of His collection of songs, there's always one you can sing right in the face of the devil. You don't have to wait till you get to church. Many people think you're supposed to sing rock and roll all the week and go to church and sing hymns. I wish you young people could get away from that. I wish you'd get away from it. I got to where in our part of the country, I just watch to turn the radio on when I know there's news. Embarrassed for letting anybody to hear me even with a radio on, the music that's coming over it these days. But in our great collection of hymns, not a one of you ever face a problem in life but what you could reach back and get one of them and sing right in the face of the devil. Oh, there's times you feel like you don't have a friend left in all the world. Go back and get that old song and sing it. You may not know what key it's in, but sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Just sing it, sing it, sing it. First thing you know, you'll feel the loving arms of a friend wrapped around you, driving the forces and powers of the enemy back. Praise God. When they begin to sing and to praise God, He drove the enemy back. He'll drive him back in your life. Drive him back in this camp meeting. The devil cannot stand the praises of God. Oh, I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. There's been times in your life when you felt like you was up on a pinnacle. You were just up here on a pinnacle, no hiding place. You were just up here where the enemy could get a shot at you from all around. You was exposed to every one of his fiery darts, and he was a firing them at you. Don't drag your head in despondency and discouragement. Start singing. Hide me, O blessed rock of ages. Hide me. Hide me. Hide me. Hide me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The first thing you know, you'll see yourself hid away. God will drive the enemy back. When did he do it? When they began to sing. Not when they got out on the battlefield. Not when they went and placed themselves physically right where God told them to go. That isn't when He did it. It's when they began to sing. You see, a lot of people go to church, but they never sing. They never worship. They never praise. I've gone to them and asked them to come to church. I knew they were discouraged. I'd get them to come to church, and then I'd see them. They wasn't singing in the song service. And I've got a song book, and I've opened it up, and I took it back there to them. And I wanted them to sing. I knew if they ever start singing and praising God, something would happen in their soul. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. I see them close the book and lay it down. But my text said when they begin to sing and to worship and to praise, that's when the Lord drove the enemy back. When are you going to begin? When are you going to begin? When will you? You've come. You've situated yourself physically. You're right where you were asked to be. I think you're right where God wills you to be tonight. You're here physically. Physically, you're here. They were out there in the wilderness of Peru physically. They were at the cliff Z physically. But that isn't what drove the enemy back. What drove the enemy back was when they began to worship, praise, and bless the Lord. What a weapon! What a weapon! What a weapon, my friend! No greater weapon of warfare God's ever given to man than to praise and bless and glorify the Lord. Let me bring you into the New Testament. I want to remind you of some scripture that you're acquainted with. Paul and Silas in jail. There wasn't at no camp meeting. They were in jail. Wasn't nobody there with them, just Paul and Silas. And the lights are out. It's midnight. Not only is it midnight on the old clock on the wall, but it's midnight in their experience. If they was in a camp meeting somewhere, they might could feel different. But somewhere along about midnight in that dark, dismal jail, one or the other of them said, "Let's sing a song." No piano, no organ. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't want to say it in the spirit of humor. From what I can read about Paul, he must not have been too good of a singer. His speech wasn't the best in the world, though he was a writer and a teacher. But his speech was contemptible. I don't suppose he was a soloist. That isn't what God asked for. Let's sing a song, Silas. Paul and Silas started singing a song, Blackness of the Night. Let me tell you something. Had Paul and Silas have had a trumpet like Gideon had when they were put in jail, they'd have said, "Give us that trumpet. You're not going in there with that trumpet." It had been taken away from them. Had they had a rod like Moses had, they'd have said, "You can't go back there with that rod. You have to leave it out here." If they'd had a sling like David had, this is why I say I'm talking about the most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible. If they'd have had a sling like David had, "No, you can't go back there with that sling. You can't go back there with that sling." They didn't have a pen knife. They didn't have themselves one single thing that they could use of the natural. But they had a weapon that all the world couldn't take away from them. And they started singing, praising, and blessing the Lord. That old jailhouse began to shake. Look at here. Paul could say, "Oh, Silas, I wish you could see, but I know you can't. It's dark. But my foot's out of the stock. My foot's free. My foot's free. Oh, Silas, the other one's free." And some of you Holy Ghost people can't sing yourself free in a camp meeting. Sitting there tonight all tied up in a knot. All the world you have to do is loosen up and worship and say. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! When were they freed of the stocks? When was the building shaken? When they began to sing and to praise and to worship God. When will you begin? When? Why not this first night? Why not this first night? Let me tell you this, on the day of Pentecost, this church was born worshiping, praising, and blessing God. This church was born worshiping, praising, and blessing God. They were all with one mind and one accord in one place, praising and blessing God. And suddenly there comes a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. God's still doing it. told Brother Price and Brother Nally, they're the only ones I've got to talk to. We shut down a revival to come. Evangelist, he had an engagement this week, and he said, Brother Glass, I could easily push mine ahead, but you can't. I said, no, it's too late. Too late today. So we just stopped. I'm going to start up when I get back. Revival. Last night, nearly 11 o'clock, house still full of people. Service is all over. Evangelist going to put on dry shirt. I said to the audience, I just don't feel free to let you go. I just don't feel free to turn you loose. And I looked over to my left, and I saw a lady that I'd witnessed to. She was a teacher in a denominational church. And on Sunday night, their services last about 30 minutes. One man told me, he said, I don't understand it, Reverend. He said, we have a 40-minute service and don't have 40 people. It's one of the first churches of the city, too. He said, I don't understand. You have 4 hours and have 400. That's us. That's us. That's us. And I looked over at the lady. She's a teacher in a denominational church. Teacher. Refined lady. Now, I said, lady, you right over here, you know, you see me, you know, and she said this. She knew who I was talking to. I said, you've been to church tonight, haven't you? She said, yes, I have. I said, you've enjoyed it, haven't you? She said, yes, I have. I said, if you enjoyed being a spectator, how much more you'd enjoy it being a participant? Why don't you receive the Holy Ghost? Glory! When I said that, the church began to worship, praise, and bless God. This lady came out from where she is sitting, and she came to the altar. Before she got to the altar, there was 15 or 20 saints around to worship, praising God, and she didn't get good kneel at the altar. Before the Holy Ghost filled her, she came up from, I'll tell you, it still works. I don't know whether I'll be successful or not. I'm making a desperate attempt. Never tried harder at all in my life. But I believe this as much as I believe Acts 2:38. I believe this as much as I believe one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I believe this, if you'll begin to worship, praise, and bless God from this end of the building to that end, from that end to this end, you're going to have a camp meeting that you'll talk about for the next 20 years. Stand up, worship God. Everybody, stand up, worship the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Tell you what I want you to do, and I believe you're going to do it. I believe you will. I believe you will. There isn't all that much room, but enough of you is going to. There could be someone in this audience tonight whose hearts are really hungry. They're hungry for an infilling or a refilling. Just hungry, hungry. I'd like for this place to be crowded all up around this little platform. The people worshiping, praising, blessing the Lord. Anyone in the audience that doesn't have the Holy Ghost baptism, this would be the best time that I could ever give you to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on up here with these as they come. Come on, saints. All of you that will, come praise and worship in God. Come on, don't stop. Just keep right on. Worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise the Lord! Hooray! Hallelujah! Come on, folks! Come on! I want a lot of you. Some of you way over here in the back. You come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Some of you way in the back over here. Come on up to the front. There might be somebody back there would come with you if you come. If they see you coming from back there, maybe somebody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost would come. Come on. Come on. Come on, folks. Come on. A lot of you saints, come on up closer. Please do. A lot of you saints, come on up closer. Get right into these services. Get right into them. Keep praising God all over the building. All over the building. All over the building. Everybody in the building, keep on worshiping God. Please do, saints. Please do. Worship. Worship back there. Worship. 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 All over the building.
Yes, Lord bless you. Good to see you again. Good to hear you preach.
Well, good to see you. Holy. Holy. Everybody. Worship. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Brother, stand up. Just stand up. Praise God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Praise and bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, Mariana Halabaha. Oh, Kandala Masaya. Oh, Jesus.